Welcome to the Still Breathing Podcast, where we talk about Green Day, drums, and music. Today's topic is ranking American Idiot from worst to best. Today, I'm joined by my co-host of the podcast, Angel. And Angel, how are you doing? And please tell me how big of a fan of Green Day you are.
I'm doing fine, thank you. And yeah, I am a big Green Day fan. The kind of fan to run to the first row in the shows and yeah, to get deaf after the show and be like, I don't care if I got deaf because of Green Day.
Angel is also a musician, inspiring musician, and she plays the drums as well. So how big of an influence was Green Day on that?
We can say that Green Day was the reason I started to believe, like, to want to make music. Like, I always had that desire to make music, but it was Green Day that was like, pick up the bass and do it. So they are like a huge inspiration, and yeah, the reason why I'm here, basically.
Without further ado, we're going to start with the topic at hand, discussing the legendary album American Idiot from worst to best. Let's first start by guessing what each other's worst is.
Knowing that you really like to play drums and your least liked would be Are We The Waiting? Because the drums are like the same in the whole song.
Wrong. It's pretty shocking for me because Are We The Waiting? The drums are amazing. That's one of the things I love about Trey Cole's drumming, and I'm sure a lot of people have the same thought, is how powerful his drumming is. And in Are We The Waiting, it really shows how, like, Trey Cole has such good drum patterns, and Trey Cole is right in the middle at the perfect spot where it's not overplaying, but it's not underplaying, and it's very powerful, loud, and full of energy, and it represents Green Day so well.
Now it's your turn to guess my song.
So you kind of gave me a spoiler in the beginning. Okay, you're not actually gonna say American Idiot, right? Like, I have to have that wrong, but no, okay, you can't say American Idiot. It's just too outrageous. So I'm gonna say Homecoming, because it's just so long. You go first, saying your worst, not the worst, but the one that's ranked the lowest.
Yeah, it hurts to say, and
don't say.
You're gonna kill me. You're gonna kill me in 2,000 ways, but it is the title track, American Idiot.
Oh my god, are you serious? American, the song that they play, like, in the very beginning, and they play at every show. That song?
Yeah.
You have such a controversial opinion. It's not that it's bad, but it's just very shocking. So yeah, exactly. What's the reasoning behind this?
Yeah, the reason behind this is like overplayed. I've listened to it. Not like I have listened to it, but like a lot of people listen to it. And it's all the time out there. And it's also, I am more into the emotional kind of songs that talk about feelings, and this song is more like a social statement. Hey, society is fucked up and we need to do something about it, which is a really positive message. I really like that. But yeah, it's like a little specific to the American Idiot. I was telling you, like, before recording, like, it's so hard because the whole album is a masterpiece. So
yeah, but yeah, you can't put American Idiot below, like. Okay, so I'm gonna say my one, okay?
Okay.
The very worst one is Extraordinary Girl.
Really?
Yes. I can't believe you think American Idiot is... You like Extraordinary Girl more than American Idiot?
I mean, I have my reasons, but yeah, I kinda do. But I honestly thought you were gonna rank that more on the top, not so low. Because, you know, Extraordinary Girls is the one that starts with, like, this kind of tribal drum, you know,
Yeah, that's why I don't like that.
No, like, oh my god, I thought, hey, maybe you're into drums, maybe you like that variety.
So what's your second worst?
Yeah, my second worst is She's a Rebel.
Okay,
I was like listening to the album, and when She's a Rebel came, I was like, I forgot this song existed. Like, I listened to it and I enjoyed it, and I'm like, I love it. But I forgot the song existed. I mean, if I don't get wrong, it's right after Give Me Novocaine. It's like, you have depressed me with Give Me Novocaine, and now you're going to bring me with She's a Rebel. No, fuck you.
Second worst is, you might kind of be shocked, but Homecoming.
Really? Homecoming?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to lie, it's not really high on my list either, but the second worst, you sure about that?
It's too long. Jesus Suburbia is, like, this is no doubt about it, is a masterpiece. But Homecoming is like a worse version of Jesus Suburbia, that it's not as good lyrically, and it's not as, like, the first part is really good, and then it just starts dragging on and on. So it has a good intro, a good outro, but the middle, I can't even remember what it is. Next, we're moving on to the third worst.
It comes really well to what we were talking about, because it is Homecoming. I told you, it's not so high on my list, but in fact, it was like the next one. Because they were trying to recreate Jesus of Suburbia, and it just didn't work as Jesus of Suburbia.
I didn't say the third yet. Saint Jimmy.
Saint Jimmy?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, really? I really
That's
love
iconic. Saint Jimmy. Come on.
Why is that surprising for you?
Oh my god, like, I don't know, whenever that song comes up, it's so iconic. I mean, have you seen like the musical? When Billy Joe came up as Saint Jimmy, like, that's iconic, like, oh my god. And I love the way that Billy stands.
Yeah.
Like, he was like crucified, and then he, like, I think he takes his like shirt off, and you can see like he has like the heart. It's like a symbol of Saint Jimmy, which is like a heart and that J.
The fourth worst is for you?
For me, it's Extraordinary Girl.
Oh, it should be lower, but anyway, go on.
Yeah, it's that one, because, you know, like, the intro, I like it because it's kind of surprising and original, but 30 minutes of just like the tribal drum, it's really cool, but 30 seconds, that's a little too much. And if I recall correctly, it's a song about a girl that is in a toxic relationship, and he, like, the singer is telling, like, the girl, like, hey, you are too good to be this bad. So get out of that situation and find a better situation. And, yeah, I think that's a really positive message. So that's why Extraordinary Girl is there, because I believe that it can really have helped a lot of people and kind of remind the listener that it's an extraordinary person. Because in reality, we are all different from each other. So sometimes when we are down, we have to just remember.
The fourth worst is Letterbomb. But Letterbomb is also so good. I love of course, I'm a drummer, so I pay very close attention to the drums. But that tom fill in the beginning is just so, it's almost as iconic as the American Idiot tom fill.
Yeah,
but that I really love that fill, and I really love the chorus as well. It's not over till you're underground.
I mean, the lyrics of that song, like, I was listening back to it, and when the chorus came in, I was like, oh my god, like, this is I mean, lyrically, I love that, you know, because the chorus, I think it goes like, it's not over till you're underground, it's not over before it's too late. And I mean, that's true. It's never too late until it is too late, you know, until you are dead, basically.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
that you see it that way, because I see it like a different, I took it as a different way where it's not over till you're underground. It's like it's telling you that your misery will never end until you're dead. Like,
oh my god. That's depressing.
No, but it's kind but of
it's
like
true, it's true.
It kind of gives me reassurance, like, oh my god, Green Day understands me. But like, I do feel that way, like, no matter, that's why this is kind of deep, but no matter what you achieve, even if you achieve all your dreams, everything you ever wanted, it's not really gonna change. That's why you see celebrities, they achieve everything they ever wanted, but they're still not happy. The only thing that will stop the suffering is when you're dead. And that's a very true. Sad fact, but it's also true, and it makes me like, oh, Green Day is genius. But it's probably not what they meant by it, but that's what I get by that line, and it gets me.
But if you think about it, I mean, it's true that when you are dead, misery ends. But, I mean, depends on your beliefs, and if you're religious or not, or whatever. But technically, everything ends when you are dead. The sadness, the happiness. So, yeah, it can be taken both ways. It can be taken in a good direction, which is like you still have time to fulfill your dreams until you are dead. Because when you are dead, it's over. Or the misery will not end until you die.
So that's kind of depressing that I thought about the sad one.
Yeah. But yeah, it's also a way to see it. Good lyrics for me are the ones that can be read many times. Because the author can write it with a sense in mind, but then the listener can take it and mold it and apply it to their life and whatever situation they are feeling. Like, for example, if you listen to that song and you are in a good place of mind, you're gonna take it in the good way. You're gonna be like, yeah, I still have time to fulfill my dreams. And if you are sad, you're gonna think like, oh my god, the misery will never end. So, until I'm dead, of course. So, yeah, that's something that I find really fascinating, because it doesn't happen only with this song. It happens with a lot of other songs, not only Green Day, but other singers and stuff. But yeah, Green Day does that a lot of times. It takes a song, a lyric, and it makes it ambiguous enough for you to decide, is this a happy lyric? Is this a sad lyric? You know, and that's really, really amazing. The fifth verse for me, this is funny. Letterbomb. And why? I love Letterbomb. As I said, I love the chorus and the meaning it has for me. But now knowing the depressing meaning it has for you, it makes me love it even more, because it's like, wow, it's even deeper. Another thing I really like is the overall sound of the song. It doesn't sound happy, it doesn't sound sad, but it sounds dark. I don't know, it has like the harmony of the song. I really like it.
So my fifth worst is Are We the Waiting?
No.
Yes. No. It really pains me. I love Are We the Waiting, and it's such a good song. Like, the melody, this is like the thing we're talking about where every song is different for every person, but this song just makes me so nostalgic, and I don't know, it just makes me think about when I was a kid for some reason. The first line, starry nights, city lights coming down over me, it's just like, I just close my eyes and imagine I'm walking down the street and there's stars in the sky.
One thing I want to tell you, like, it's like a song that like takes you to like a dream kind of state. You know, it's like a song that is like the calm before the storm. You know, like in the album, I think it's placed right after Boulevard of Broken Dreams and right before Saint Jimmy. Yeah, I think the placement of the song is genius.
Eighth best song.
So mine is Saint Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, I could agree with your placement.
Yeah, but for me it's like a really iconic song, because it's like the definition of a character in the story. He's like, Jesus of Suburbia is dead. Now I'm Saint Jimmy. I am wild. I am free. I do whatever I want. I escaped from my miserable life. I am better now. I am, you know, and I really like that because it's like a transformation of the hero of the story. And or maybe it's more like he embraces his anti-hero persona, and he's like, he like embraced himself, and I don't know. For me, Saint Jimmy is a little bit, he tries a little bit too hard to be wild. Or is this like letting out all the rage and all the feelings he had to hide before in the story? Or I don't know, it's like an explosion of like wildness and freedom and happiness and everything, and I really, really like that.
It's the worst, right?
Yeah.
She's a rebel.
Well, this, okay.
No, but I really love this song. It's such a good song. I told you a little bit about the being a rebellious, like that's part of the punk. That's what punk rock is. So this song is basically like a representation of punk rock. And also, it's there's like a theme, like She's a Rebel is part of a theme of Billy Joe Armstrong's writing, where this song is probably about Adrian, Billy Joe Armstrong's wife. And Last of the American Girls is also a very similar type of song where the protagonist is a girl and she is rebel and is fighting against the establishment. So there's that theme of that.
So it's Jesus of Suburbia.
What? 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 The heck? You're like, you said that you.
Yeah, I just said what? That.
No, but like before when we were talking, you're like raving how good Jesus of Suburbia is. I'm very surprised that you picked Jesus of Suburbia, but please tell me your reasoning.
Okay.
For picking this legendary song that they play in every concert and every Green Day fan knows, and Billy Joel Armstrong said it's the best song that he ever wrote, and he said it's his favorite song ever.
Yeah, I think I know which your first one is.
No. But okay, that's a spoiler, so.
Yeah, but it's the seventh one because we are starting to get into the personal reasons. You know, it's like Jesus of Suburbia, I love it. It's like the Bohemian Rhapsody of Green Day, you know? Some people call it the Bohemian Rhapsody of punk rock. Or punk
it's better
rock,
than Bohemian Rhapsody, for sure.
Well, that depends, but yeah, it's such a good song. In fact, it's a song that has like accompanied me through my teenage years, and I love it because as I was listening to it, I was thinking, this song, I think it's five parts, like the process a person goes through when it's confronted with death. You know, when, I don't know, somebody close to you dies, people around that person usually go through a process. And that process is like denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And yeah, I know the song doesn't follow the same order, but I believe it has like all of the parts, you know, like the first part would be like denial, like, I'm here living this life, like, why would I have to change it? Then it's City of the Damned, which will be like the depression part. Then I Don't Care, which is the rage part. Then the fourth one will be like the bargaining, like negotiation, something kind of. And the last part, the resolution, the acceptance, I have to leave this town if I want to leave. You know, it's like the process of processing a death, but kind of in reverse. Because he's not dying, he's beginning to live, you know? Or we can say that Jesus of Suburbia is dying, but Saint Jimmy is living.
Seventh best is, it pains me to say, to put it low, but what's her name?
No.
Yes.
No, come on.
Is it very high on your list?
Yeah, we can say it is pretty high on my list.
There's some Green Day songs where the first time I hear it, I'm like, oh, it's not that good. Like Stray Heart, the first time I heard it, I'm like, It's not that good, but like really? After the 10th time, I'm like, yeah, Stray Heart's the best. Like now Stray Heart is like in my top 10 for sure. But yeah. That being said, What's Her Name, the very first time I heard it, I was instantly fell in love with this song. It's so catchy, and I like how it starts with the drums and the vocals seem like they're lower, and then later on the song it's like a crescendo, like it starts very softly, and it's kind of a sad, it has a sad feeling to it. It's not sad, but it's like a longing, the feeling of longing, remembering back. And yeah, I kind of have like the same, I have a life experience to relate to this song. So yeah, this song is very, I can relate it to my own experience as well. So this song has a very special place in my heart.
The sixth one for me is Holiday. I think it's so iconic and so good. And in fact, the solo of that song, like the bass solo of that song, is the main reason why I fell in love with Mike Dern and why I started to play bass. If I had never come across this song, I wouldn't be playing bass. Like, I mean, I don't play bass that good, but yeah, this was the song that started everything. In fact, I couldn't have a bass at first, so I took a guitar and I played it as a bass because I wanted to play the bass because of this song, because I wanted to learn the solo of this song. In fact, when they played it live at the concert I went to, I was like looking at Mike's fingers in the solo to see how he played it, and he played it in a different way I played it, and I was like, now I need to learn the way he plays it.
I 100% agree about the bass solo. When I first started getting into music, that bass solo just stuck out like, holy, like it's so catchy. It blew my mind how catchy that part was. It's amazing. I loved it. And not knowing anything about bass, I thought that was like mastery of bass. But the first time, it made me think, wow, bass is such a cool instrument.
Another thing I wanted to say about Holiday. Holiday is the reason why I know bass exists. Yeah. It's a typical thing. Like, people that don't know much about music, at least around like, what I, based on my experience, like I saw two guitars on the stage. Yeah, there are two guitarists. And I didn't know what a bass was, you know, like, but then I listened to the song and I was like, what is that deep sound making that noise? I like it. And then I understood, oh, that is a bass guitar, which is a guitar that plays the root notes and usually plays the root notes and goes with a kick drum, and you know, and it gives the song like, it's like the backbone of the song. Like, if you take the bass out of any song, it sounds so weak, so thin. And there's people that is like, no, but bass is not important, you cannot listen to the bass, take out the bass and see how important it is. I don't wanna curse.
And you could also, if you want to experiment, take the kick drum out of the drum set and see how that sounds.
The kick, just the kick and the bass is like the foundation of a song. It's really, 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 really important. And there are many bands out there and groups which are only drums and bass. I think Royal Blood is one of them. And Death From Above 1979 is another one. They are really good and they only have drums and bass. And also 21 Pilots have had some performances which is only drums and bass.